Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 9:03 the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Thursday, April 9th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Hamm with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 60 degrees, going to get up to 81 today. Sunshine, a little bit of clouds. A stray shower is possible, they say, but a low percentage of precip. 57 tonight for your low, clear skies, and then more beautiful weather tomorrow and throughout the weekend. Could get a record high on Saturday. Right now they're projecting 86 degrees. Perfect baseball weather. The Memphis Tigers will be back in action for a three-game series with Florida Atlantic starting tomorrow night over at the stadium on the South Campus. Tigers and Florida Atlantic. By the way, the the ceremonial tee shots taking place this morning to start the Masters. Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Gary Player, always a treat to see that. Having fun, the three of them, three absolute legends. Augusta and the Masters, of course, underway with round one action.
And Nicklaus almost killed somebody, but he did not. It was over everybody's head, so that's good. He pulled it dead left.
Did he really?
On the top of the people. But just in that commercial break, we went from two guys under par to six guys under par. we had a lot of action going on, a lot of birdies and an eagle. Sam Burns, eagle number two. He's at two under par now. Max Homa's at one under. Kurt Kitayama's still at one under. Jake Knapp's at one under. And Shane Lowry birdied his first hole. He is at one under par. All right. It's time for the new game show called. So you think you know this year's Grizzlies. You folks can play along at home as Greg and Jay compete against each other for a prize package that includes absolutely nothing.
I'm telling you, I'm losing this one. I am guaranteed to lose this one.
All right, Greg, even or odd?
Even.
All right. Greg gets to go first. You get a point for a correct answer. There are some that you'll go back and forth because there's multiple answers. All right, here we go. This is about this year's team, what they did this year, and while they were in a Grizzlies jersey this year, not if they got traded or what's some other team or whatever else. Okay, question number one. Greg, who has scored the most total points for the Grizzlies this year?
Who has scored the most total points for the Grizzlies this year? I'm going to go with Jalen Wells.
Ding, 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 ding. That's a correct answer.
Whoa!
By 1 point over Jaren Jackson Jr., 865 to 864. If Cedric Coward plays the last two, he will end up being number one in all likelihood. If he plays one of them, he'll have a chance to get there. I think he needs like 20-something points now after last night's performance to clip Jalen Wells. All right. Jay, you are up. Who has the most rebounds for the Grizzlies this year? Total rebounds.
Santi Aldama.
That is incorrect. Greg, you got a chance to steal.
Oh, I got a chance to steal? I'm going to go with Cedric Coward.
Ding, 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 ding.
Whoa. I'm just guessing, baby.
Number two on the list, Jock Landale.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Greg, back to you. Who has made the most free throws?
Who has made the most free throws?
Trying to take a commanding lead here of 3-0.
Most free throws. I'm going to go with, nah, it's not going to be right.
Now, don't be cheating in there, Jay. I see you on your phone. Hey, don't be cheating. We need an answer.
Santi Aldama.
That is incorrect. Chance to steal for Jay.
Repeat that question one more time.
Who has made the most free throws for the Grizzlies this year?
Jalen Wells.
That is incorrect. No point awarded. Jaren Jackson Jr.
Okay.
All right. So it is back to Jay. How many guys on the team have made more than 100 three-pointers? I need a number. How many?
Four.
That is incorrect.
Five.
That is incorrect. You guys are too high. It is two. Cam Spencer and Jalen Wills.
They shoot so many threes.
We forget they couldn't shoot.
Yeah, the difference between shooting and making.
Okay, so this is to Greg. Cam Spencer has twice as many assists as anybody else on the team. He has 400. Who is second on the team in total assists?
Total assists. I'll go with Jalen Wells.
That is incorrect. Chance to steal.
Javon Small.
That is incorrect. Cedric Coward.
He's an all-star, man.
171 assists. Spencer has 400. Coward has 171. There's the beginning of the year, he told somebody, Cam Spencer is going to have more than twice as many assists as anybody on the team. Like, what? How in the world is that possible?
And you know what's weird with that? They've kind of cut down his playing time and some of the games he doesn't even play. It's almost like he was doing too well. Then they got a dilemma with Cam Spencer. It's like they don't want him to. I don't know. It's very strange with him. He was putting up huge numbers, and all of a sudden he wasn't starting anymore and then not getting the minutes. I don't know.
All right, Greg's up 2-0. Jay, it's your turn. Who has the most dunks?
Jock Landale.
That is incorrect.
That was a good guess, though. I like that one. I'll go Jaren Jackson Jr.
That is incorrect. This was not even close. You had the correct last name. You had the wrong one.
Oh, I forgot about G.G. Jackson.
51 dunks. O-Max, second with 31.
I was about to go with O-Max as well. Ah.
All right. So this is Greg's turn. Of the 33 guys that have played for the Grizzlies this year,
don't ask me to name them.
How many guys have scored at least 100 points for the season?
Oh, boy. Can I be within 10? Out of 33 guys, how many guys have scored 100 points? That's not a lot. I'm going to say 30.
That is incorrect.
I'll go 20.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, my gosh. Nice guess.
Because they score a lot.
Well, that's what I was thinking. 100 is not a lot of points.
But we're talking individual total points, and they score the basketball. They don't get stops.
Ryan Rupert had a triple-double with 30 points one game. All these guys have 100 points. All right. That's a good guess on your part.
So it's a 2-1 game now. Uh-oh. Very good. And your turn. You can tie it up right here. Okay. Who has the most offensive rebounds?
I'm going back to Jock Landale again.
Ding, 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 ding.
Nice.
141 offensive rebounds. Not even close. Nobody's even close to him. So we are tied at 2 apiece. Okay. Greg, your turn. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies made one shot this year from beyond half court. Who made it?
Javon Small?
That is incorrect.
Jalen Wells?
That is incorrect. It just happened a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I can't remember when that was, what game it was. G.G. Jackson.
Okay.
Sure did.
G.G. Jackson. All right. We're still tied at 2 apiece. We get to the bonus round here in a little bit. Whose turn is it?
Jay.
Jay, your turn. Of the 33 players who have played for the Grizzlies this year, which player has scored the fewest points?
Oh, man. Tomas Isolo.
He has not put on the jersey.
Oh, I'll go with Javon Small on that one.
That's incorrect.
I'm going to go Adama Ball.
That is incorrect. Brandon Clark, number two on the list, with only eight.
Oh, he scored. He scored well.
I didn't even think about old Kratom.
Yeah, he always scored eight. But he's number two on the list. Number one on the list. And number one in your heart. With 7 points this year scored for the Grizzlies, Charles Bassey.
Charles Bassey?
I wasn't even aware.
I forgot he was on the team.
Right. He was the early 10-day contract. He was early hardship waivers.
Like November, December
stuff. Yeah, he's not the late hardship waiver. He was the early hardship.
You told me he was part of the team a couple of years ago when they went through the 33 guys. I would have believed you. I don't even remember him this year.
That's a new game right there in itself. Which Grizzlies?
Which of the two seasons?
All right. So, Greg, it is your turn. All right, well, to make this even, we're going to have to go to the bonus round now. Okay.
Okay.
So these questions have multiple answers. We'll go back and forth. You can go as long as you get it either way until we use all the answers or both of you get an answer wrong.
Okay.
But name the Grizzlies who scored 30 or more points in a game this year.
G.G. Jackson.
That is correct.
John's got one.
That is correct.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
That is correct.
Cedric Coward.
That is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
All
right, that's what I'm thinking. Wow.
So do I go again?
Mm-hmm.
Ty Jerome.
That is incorrect.
Oh, I thought he had a 30-pointer.
I know Santi went for like 37 one night.
Yeah, but the others were Santi, Zach Edey, Ryan Rupaire.
Oh, yeah. We should have.
And Omax.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
There were seven of them. All right, so Greg has a 4-3 lead after that one. Next one, and Jay, you will go first on this one.
All right.
Name the Grizzlies who led the team in scoring in a game this year.
Oh, Ja Morant.
That is correct.
Cedric Coward.
That is correct.
Santi Aldama.
That is correct.
Omax.
That is incorrect.
Really? Wow. He didn't lead the team at all?
Wow. With a 30 piece.
I mean, it seemed like he's been scoring all the points here in the last month. Him and Jackson.
How about Jaren Jackson?
Oh, yes. Jaren Jackson. Yes. All right, Greg, you can come back in now.
Oh, I'm back in.
You got your bonus.
Okay.
He got his bonus by getting two right. You go until either two of you get it wrong in a row or all the guys are done.
Okay.
Which you'll never get to all of them.
Okay, now I'm going to recalibrate here. Jalen Wells?
That is correct.
G.G. Jackson?
That is correct.
This is 30-point games, right? Is that what we're talking?
This has led the team in scoring.
The team in scoring. Okay. Has anybody said Santi? Santi?
Yeah, I got Santi.
You already said it?
Yeah.
But Ryan Rupaire.
That is correct.
Ty Jerome.
That is correct.
Have we said Edey? Edey.
That is correct.
How many more are left?
Six.
Six more left?
Wow.
Oh, I think I know one.
We're currently tied at eight apiece.
I'm striking out on this one with Vince Williams.
That is incorrect.
Cam Spencer.
That is correct.
Do I keep going?
No, you get because he gets back in.
Okay, he gets back in.
Jock Landale.
That is correct.
Ooh, nice. You love your Jock Landale.
Jock was my guy.
Okay, this one's way out there, but did he have one big game when he came back? Did Scottie Pippen lead the team in scoring one time?
He did not.
Ah! Scottie!
So, Jay?
We got four left?
Do we go through Jalen Wells yet?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh.
I
Actually, let me. Who was your incorrect answer you had earlier? Did you say Omax earlier?
I said Omax.
He was a correct answer. I couldn't read my handwriting in there.
Okay.
All these jotted down, so you get a bonus. You get a point there.
Okay.
So there's three left.
Three left.
I just realized now as I focused on this handwriting.
I know there's one of those wacky guys, and I can't remember their names.
And that's the part I'm over struggling with. And I'm like, okay, did we say Cam Spencer?
We did.
Yeah.
Okay, we got Cam.
Yeah, he's not one of the wacky guys. I mean, one of these 10-day guys.
My man, I know he didn't, but give me my man, Giroux.
That is incorrect.
So, gosh, who's left on the team? We've done the two Jacksons, right?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Somewhere out there, somebody's yelling at their radio right now. They know one of these correct answers.
I'm sure they know them. I haven't really even paid attention much of the roster here with these three guys. John Conchar.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
The other three, Javon Small. I thought you'd go back to Javon Small.
Oh, yeah,
I thought about it. Yeah. I was like,
Taylor Hendricks.
Really?
And Tyler Burton.
Tyler Burton was one of those guys that
we
was thinking.
Knew,
I couldn't
just
remember the guy's
name.
Yeah.
15 guys that have led the team in scoring in the game
gosh.
This year.
15-33.
I wonder what the record is for.
I'm going to look that
up. I mean, seriously. I mean, rosters used to be just 15, right? There was no two-way guys back in the day. It was 15 guys. Now they may have had an injury replacement or what. 15 guys have led the team in scoring.
All right, so Greg has a 10-8 lead with two questions to go. We're back to Greg going first here. There's not as many in these categories here, but we will go the same thing back and forth. Which guys who have played for the Grizzlies this season played in a Final Four in their college careers?
Cam Spencer.
That is correct.
Zach Edey.
That is correct.
Tyler Burton.
That is incorrect.
Ah, I thought Villanova, but maybe he was on that team.
I would have thought that
He was only at Villanova for 1 year. He played at Richmond for four. The 1 year he was at Villanova, they did not go.
Gotcha. It's hard.
Wow.
I mean, need an answer.
Taylor Hendricks.
That is incorrect. Wow, how quickly we forget. Walter Clayton Jr.
Walter Clayton Jr. I'm not even thinking about him being there.
He was just the most outstanding player last year.
Turned the most outstanding player a year ago.
How about Ty Jerome?
Ty Jerome with a national championship, right.
And then the other two that are a little harder are Lucas Williamson and Deke Jerome.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got either one.
I wouldn't have remembered either one were on the team. Right. Yeah, I would have eventually thought of Ty Jerome, but
Ty Jerome and Walter Clayton, I can easily kick myself for because they would have liked with Zach Edey.
Of course, Walter Clayton, but I completely forgot. He was not even in my head. Like, he's on the team. I know he's on the team, but my gosh.
All right, so we got it's a 1-point game. Greg's up 11-10. One question to go, and this will be Jay going first. Which players that played for the Grizzlies this year played college basketball in the SEC?
Walter Clayton Jr.
There you go. That is a correct answer.
You took it from me. Jemai Mashak.
That is correct.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
That is correct. We got a tie game.
Scottie Pippen Jr.
That is correct. Okay, you either get the last one.
There's
only one more.
Oh, there's only one
you
more?
You get the last one for the tie or Greg wins.
He got me a Javon Small.
No!
It's West Virginia. Hey!
G.G. Jackson!
European South Carolina guy.
Greg wins.
That's exhausting, isn't it, J.M.?
It was exhausting, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Because the game show, so you think you know this year's Grizzlies.
And when you're talking about 33 different names and faces, and you spread all of that out, you can easily forget Ty Jerome won a national championship, Walter Clayton won one. You can forget those things. That was a great exercise, though.
That is wild. That should be on the well, there's no more home games. I was going to say on the Jumbotron for the fans to try to answer those questions. That is wild stuff. It also shows you, too, that guys – now, obviously, Ty Jerome's a very good player, big pickup as a free agent in the offseason, but guys that have been on national championship teams, even big contributors, maybe not so easy making that transition to the NBA.
You could get lost in that.
Walter Clayton, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know about his future.
So the thing that stands out, how about the fact that the Grizzlies are not going to have a guy – scored 900 points this season. Like just 900 points.
Wow.
In an 82-game season, like if you theoretically played all the games, you'll have to average just barely over 10 points. They won't have one guy reach the 900-point mark unless Coward goes off in the last two games. He's at 843. Good. If he plays at least one of the last two, certainly if he plays the last two games, he will lead the team in scoring. But as far as total points go, but yeah, nobody will reach the 900-point mark.
In a league where routinely your best players will score 2,000 in a season.
Jaren Jackson Jr. was traded at the deadline, obviously. He is still – he's only second on the team in scoring by 1 point.
Oh. Wow. Like it's – that's nuts. I don't think, though, under Isolo, they're going to have, and this has nothing to do with that, but this is all about injuries, but the way he plays these guys, the minutes he gives them, you're probably not going to have guys with huge amounts of numbers and breaking records because they're not going to play the minutes.
Where we're seeing the starters, especially at this backstretch, playing 20 minutes max.
Absolutely. Speaking of basketball, one of our great sponsors is Shoot 360 Memphis. You can take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology, gamification. You get your instant objective feedback. Not only from the analytical numbers that are being spit out every time you put up one of those shots in those shooting bays, but also you get the expert one-on-one coaching, coaches that have been at every single level. It's that combination that is going to make you a better all-around basketball player, but in particular, specifically, a better shooter. For those in your family that love to play the game of basketball, this is a great birthday present, graduation gift. Get them a membership. And you could do so on a monthly basis, so you're not bogged down with some long-term, year, annual, multi-year contract. It's 1 month at a time. Now, you can sign up for 6 months. You can sign up for a year. That's your prerogative. But you could also sign up for a month. And I think that's the best-case scenario. You go there, take a tour, let them show you what it's all about. Sign up for a month. Try it out. If you don't like it, you're in for a month. That's all. If you like it, I guarantee you're going to sign up for a lot more months because it is a real fun place to go to. I've been there a number of times. And for little kids as well, to learn the art of passing the ball. That's where the gamification comes in. There's these targets that you're hitting on the walls and you're just throwing chest passes and bounce passes. And these coaches are leading the way the entire time. They also have coaching clinics, free coaching clinics. So for all you coaches out there, contact Shoot 360 Memphis. Find out when the next one is being offered. Two locations, the original in Collierville, 85 Market Street. That number is 901-316-5500. They have the shooting bays there with the Shoot 360 technology if you just want to get your shot up. But the big boy in Cordova, that's a 50,000-square-foot facility. That's where they have the two NBA regulation-size courts, three high school-size courts, four shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. That's on Big Orange Road, 901-779-3176. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The other thing that stands out, and I'm not surprised that you missed it, and because I would have too. Other than last night, as I was putting to get this together, I was watching the Grizzlies game and it came into play. The fact that Cedric Coward hasn't had a 30-point game,
right,
with all those other guys that have. But it was funny because I was watching the game and I thought I was going to have to update it because I thought he was going to get there last night. But they kept talking about him getting close to his career high of 28. And I was like, man, it's just weird. Like, I'm looking at all these. I mean, like Ryan Rupert has a 30-point game, but Cedric Coward does not. And it just doesn't – I can't – that doesn't make sense to me. But, no, he's 28. He almost got his career high last night. But 28 is that career – is the high for Cedric Coward this year.
So yesterday they announced the dates and – which teams will appear on which day for SEC Media Days. Yeah, right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. It may only be April and spring football is going on, but before too long, July 20th through the 23rd this year will be taking place in Tampa, Florida. They have had SEC Media Days in Dallas, and Nashville, Atlanta, of course, Birmingham. But my gosh, now they're in Florida, down in Tampa, beautiful part of the world. And here's the lineup for SEC Media Days. On Monday, July 20th, it'll be new Kentucky head coach Will Stein. Of course, they'll have a couple of players from each of the programs. Missouri's Eli Drinkwitz, Oklahoma's Brent Venables, and Tennessee's Josh Heupel. So kind of a little appetizer, Eli. No fireworks, I don't believe, on day one. It'll be nice to hear Will Stein, what he has to say, try to get Kentucky turned around. Then Tuesday, July 21st, Alex Golish, the new coach at Auburn, Georgia's Kirby Smart, South Carolina's Shane Beamer, and Vanderbilt's Clark Lee. Of course, Golish having coached in Tampa with South Florida. Wednesday, Alabama's Kalen DeBoer, new Florida coach John Sumrall comes from Tulane, Ole Miss now with their head coach Pete Golding, and Texas A&M's Mike Elko. That could be a fun day. And then finally on Thursday, July 23rd, Texas's Steve Sarkisian, Mississippi State's Jeff Levy, Lane Kiffin from LSU, and Ryan Silverfield, Arkansas. Kiffin, of course, will be the show. You know, Kalen DeBoer, he's not Nick Saban. There's no more. You know, Steve Spurrier is not there anymore. As far as the coaches that really excite people about, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting because of these new coaches. You have the year prior, there was no new coaches, correct, in the SEC? Going into last season?
Correct.
So this year will be interesting because of the new coaches. So everybody's going to want to hear from Sumrall and Golish and Stein, Ryan Silverfield, but the whole Lane Kiffin thing, that's where the circus will be on that final day. It's almost like they purposely put him on the final day. Not to take away anything from anybody else, right? You put him on that first day, it's craziness, and then maybe it slows down a little bit. Now you could just build up to Lane Kiffin's arrival. I think Pete Golding, now being the head coach at Ole Miss, is somebody I want to hear. I definitely want to hear what he has to say. Sarkisian's always interesting. But Ryan Silverfield, is he going to fit right in? Is he going to be overwhelmed? I mean, here's a guy who obviously was here for a long time.
Slightly different atmosphere than American Conference Media Day for Ryan Silverfield and Alex Golish and John Sumrall.
Yeah, I just have
they were a little just slightly different amount of people in attendance for them at SEC Media Days than what they faced at American Conference Media Days.
Yeah, I just wonder if they'll be overwhelmed.
Hell, they, like, probably really all three of them. If they just do a little thing, like a lot of them now will do a separate thing with, like, their local media.
Right.
If they just do that, that's probably more people than they dealt with total at American Conference Media Day.
Oh yeah,
because like, that'll be like I don't know how many media actually went to American Conference Media Day. It's not that many though.
Well, Ryan's Monday presser had more media members, I'm sure, than that were there for American Conference Media Days. I don't think they had as many as we would have on a Monday that were there for Ryan. You had all the local stations and the broadcast team and the publications. All that was there every Monday, and I would imagine a lot of those guys did not go to media days. The beat writers were there. Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian, Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal. Brian Moss was there, who's a friend of the show. I believe maybe John Maddox, a few other people, but certainly not as many. But yeah, I would imagine it's going to be an interesting time, to say the least, for those new coaches going from the American Conference to the SEC. What's your take on this whole Diana Rossini, Mike Vrabel deal?
I have no idea. I have to take them at their word that there's. I don't think
much ado about nothing.
I don't think they would be like if they were having an affair or something. I don't think they would just be out there in a public place doing that.
Yeah, I think, and again, I have no freaking idea. It seems like it's probably innocent, but there are some people now that question whether or not you can. It's unfortunate because it's always the female that gets the backlash that you can take Rossini seriously now. That because of that, it affects what she does as a journalist. And I'm sure that's unfair because they never look at the guy like that. But there are some people, and I forget who was it. It was a national guy yesterday that was questioning that. And I'm not talking about the guy in Indiana who always – seems to have a problem with women. You know what I'm talking about. The former coach. What's his name? Oh, man, I forget. He's always like in hot water. But no, this was a reputable national person talking about whether or not now it will hurt her as far as being taken seriously. Even though I think she does a great job.
I don't know why.
Because she's buddy-buddying with the guy. Well, and
newsflash, these reporters have relationships with coaches and GMs and everybody.
Right. Like, no, I understand.
If a guy walked up to him, he'd probably shake his hand and may give him a little bro hug, too. Like, these guys have relationships. That's how they get information.
Oh, you know who it may have been? Mike, former friend of the show with NBC.
Mike Florio?
Florio. I think it was Florio who said that, to be honest with you. But, no, right.
Like, some of it, it's a little weird. Like, the awkward holding hand thing. I don't know what that was. That was weird. Looked like they're, I don't know. And like the laying in the pool is weird. But again, I have to believe they like sitting there, they realize there's a good chance somebody's going to take their picture. It is 2026. Like people are going to recognize them. So I don't know. That's why I don't think they would be dumb enough to just be laying there in the pool together if something was really going on between them. Or they just like, we're both at the pool and they know each other and they're friendly with each other. And so, hey, they sit next to each other.
I think that's what it is. But again, the holding hands thing, still, I mean, it would be kind of weird. There's a new coach. In fact, the new coach of the University of Memphis women's basketball team, Hannah Hayden, will be on the show tomorrow at 8:05. Right? I haven't even met her officially and all that. But like if I was covering her and you got a picture of me holding her hand. I mean, that'd be kind of weird, right? So it is strange, but while not knowing anything about those two, you're right. I can't see why you would do that publicly. That's the other thing Florio brought up. He goes, who was involved in tipping them off? Because this was the New York Post that had these pictures, that they either had somebody who was working for them or they got somebody who was, you know, independently shot this and they sold the pictures like it was like some big drama. I mean, it's certainly a story.
I'm sure somebody else there took the pictures. Somebody else staying at the place that recognized them took the pictures and then sold them or whatever.
Yeah, it's just a little – it's very awkward. I think it's an awkward situation, but I think you're right. I don't think it's a big deal. I had a chance yesterday to go over to the University of Memphis Tigers spring practice. I've been over there about three times, and I know there's a long way to go, and Coach hasn't said anything, Coach Huff. And the thing he said before practice started, spring practice started, that there's going to be battles that will be going on deep into August. And I believe that. But it does seem like to me that right now Marcus Stokes has the upper hand to win that quarterback job. This is just me and what I've seen. I've seen him out there with guys that you would think have a great chance to be first-teamers. It doesn't mean that that's how it's going to turn out in the end. Certainly, they have a couple of other guys, including Aaron Nolan, that are competing. But I think the having the experience of having played even at the D2 level, and West Florida is about to be D1, but I think that experience will go a long way in helping him. But again, it's just me, not said by a coach or said by Kevin Decker, their offensive coordinator, that Stokes has the upper hand. It just seems like maybe he does with that experience. One thing about Aaron Nolan, while he was around bigger programs, did not have that playing time. So we'll see how this turns out. So Memphis has, if I'm not mistaken, another 5 or 6 practice sessions, including the Spring Fest, which will be taking place. That'll be a week from this Saturday, and that'll wrap up Charles Huff's first spring practice as the University of Memphis head coach.
Folks, springtime, lots of folks are focusing on spring cleaning. And when you're doing some spring cleaning, you need to include the exterior of your home and all the surrounding things that have built up dirt and grime and things throughout the winter months. All you need to do is give a call to Hall Power Washing Solutions. Roderick Hall, who's a great guy, and his company will come by and make sure that your home, your driveway, your sidewalks, your patio, your deck, your fencing, whatever, your roof, all of that looks great and is all cleaned up and ready to go for the spring and summer. Serving the entire area, Memphis, Bartlett, Collierville, Germantown, North Mississippi, the whole area, they will come to you and make sure that your home or business is looking its best. If you've got a business, you want to make sure as customers are coming that it looks great. And on the outside, the exterior of the building is clean. Those sidewalks are clean. Those driveways and parking lots, those are clean as well. And they will do that for you with Hall Power Washing Solutions. 258-1399, 258-1399, that's the number to give Roderick a call, or you can go online at hallpowerwashingsolutions.com, H-A-L-L, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com, right there on the website. You can get information about Roderick and the business. You can see some examples of the great work they do, from patios to buildings to driveways and all that, and you can also get all the services that they do. Hard surface cleaning, exterior building cleaning. They do soft washing for roofs, all of that, for fences, that type of stuff as well. They will take care of you at Hall Power Washing Solutions. Get your home, get your business looking its best with Hall Power Washing Solutions.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Great start for Augusta native and former Masters winner Patrick Reed at the Masters. He is 3-under through 2 holes. Jose Maria Olazabal, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry all at 2-under par as action is underway at Augusta.
Not a good start for Uldrich Potgieter, who's 8-over through 9.
Whoa.
Not a good front 9. Or, sorry, first 9.
First 9, right.
Sorry.
Your jargon right.
Don't ban me from the premises. I never win your ticket lottery anyway, so I'm not going to be back. How about Mark Calcavecchia, by the way, yesterday?
Yes. What are you doing, Mark? You know not to bring a cell phone.
Using a cell phone, and it even for guys who once played and never won but came close to winning, doesn't matter. You use the cell phone, you go.
They kicked him out. I mean, that's so funny. What they do? Hey, put your hands behind your back. They put cuffs on them, take them out of the at Augusta National. I mean, Mark Calcavecchia, what are you thinking? You know they don't have cell phones there.
I still wonder if, like, If Tiger was using his cell phone, are they kicking Tiger out of Augusta National? If Jack was using his cell phone, are they kicking Jack out of Augusta National?
I don't think so. We had, not this year, but we've had Steve Sands on before. I said, how'd you get the cell phone in? He was at Augusta, and he was on our show as our guest. And remember we asked, and I don't know what he said, but he's kind of like, there's ways or something like that. But Cal Kubecki, man, it's like, what have you done for us lately? Nothing. You're gone. Gary Player was asked what advice he would give to Tiger Woods. Quote, do I blame him for taking medicine? Hell no. He has sleep deprivation. Do I blame him for taking something to help him sleep? No. But I don't think he should drive a car. When you are taking that medicine, it's dangerous when you're driving a car. Same as it's dangerous when you look at your cell phone in the car. There's 6,000 accidents a day in motor cars. So I think all he's got to do is just not drive a car and get a chauffeur. My reflexes, I think, are as good as when I was 20. I don't know about that. But I don't drive anymore. I get a chauffeur. I think that's the answer to it. Gosh, we have been saying that. It doesn't take somebody to split the atom to come up with that one. Get a driver.
Well, the news now that the prosecutors in the Tiger Woods DUI case are going to subpoena a list of all his prescription medication records from his pharmacy, which I just pictured. Remember, like in the old days, the printers had like the never-ending paper that had the holes down the sign.
Oh yeah,
like this thing. Like there's going to be, and it's like the noise it used to make. Like you're going to be like waiting for that thing to quit printing. Like, wow, is it done yet? It's been 2 days. It's been printing for 2 days.
It'll be as long as a CVS receipt.
Yes.
But it's going to be, you're like, okay, seriously, like how many more pages can we possibly have? Like, there is this it? Like, no, we got a few more. We're almost there. I mean, I again, the dude's had, what, 9 back surgeries? I don't know how many knee surgeries, everything else. I can't imagine the total list of prescription medications he's been through.
Well, as Gary Player said, he understands the prescriptions. He understands the sleep deprivation, the pain and all that, but he doesn't understand why he doesn't have a driver.
Understand that you don't need to drive when you're in that kind of pain. And how could you even really drive when you're in that kind of pain all the time?
And then looking at a phone to boot, looking at texts. By the way, you're absolutely right about that.
He probably got a text on his prescription was ready.
They're sent a lot, right? But you mentioned the CVS receipt, which is funny as heck. Whatever happened to the old, like, we're chopping down too many trees, there's not enough trees and all that. Did that conversation stop? Because, yes, these receipts are the longest things ever.
And I blame Steve Ballmer for that with his tree activity, false tree activity in L.A.
A really good story from USA Today Sports. If you missed it, I think it came out today. And it talks about 3 Division I schools that have an African-American athletics director, and an African-American head coach. Memphis obviously being one of them. Do you know the other two?
I cheated. I saw.
Oh, you saw it already? Okay, let me ask Eli. Do you know the other two?
I couldn't tell you who African-American athletic directors are.
There's 2 in the ACC to go along with Memphis. It's Virginia, and it's Syracuse.
But Syracuse, about, we've seen that question come up in the text line, which one had the greater fall off, Memphis or Syracuse, you know, just from an athletic standpoint. But, you know, with Fran Brown, that's their coach, right? Fran Brown, football coach. I believe that's him. And then I don't know who the GM is. And then, you know, bringing in Jerry McNamara, although he's not black. But they
so
got a chance.
So Memphis would be the only one that has,
yeah, right, I know where you're going.
Black football, black basketball, and right, black AD.
And it used to be.
Well, who's Notre Dame's AD?
He's a white guy, the bald-headed guy.
Well, yeah, there's only 3 that have the black AD and one black head coach.
Right.
And those 2, I know, have a white men's basketball coach.
And think about this. Before Alex Simmons was fired, it was a black football head coach, men's basketball head coach and women's head basketball coach and AD.
Well, Notre Dame had a black head football coach, a black women's basketball coach,
yes.
and Michael Shrewsbury, whatever they're going to do with him.
Right.
And we would start calling Notre Dame an HBCU just before.
But they did, yeah, but the, what's his name, the AD at Powerful.
I can't remember what the new guy's
name
is.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah, bald-headed guy. Notre Dame AD is, let's see. Yeah, he made all, you know, he made all the hires. Pete Bavakwa. Yeah, that's right. Pete Bavakwa. So, you know, Memphis is in rarefied air. I mean, it's something different. And, you know, it's a great story. If you haven't seen that, looked at it this morning, read it this morning. USA Today Sports has that. All right. NBA, we are down to the nitty gritty. The final 4 days, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the regular season. Still some things to be determined. Yesterday, as we talked about in hour number one, Oklahoma City wrapped up the Western Conference for the third straight year. I mean, it wasn't easy for them this year because they went through a bunch of injuries, but that team is so loaded that even the guys that are perennial backups and even guys deep on the bench were coming through for that team. But I think, let's see if I'm not mistaken, that is, they're only the sixth team with a three-season streak as a top playoff seed since the NBA went to the 16-team playoff in the 1983-84 season. The other five teams, 84 through 88, the Celtics, 84 through 90, the Lakers, 96 through 98, the Bulls, 2008 through 10, the Lakers, and 2015 through 17, the Golden State Warriors, all won multiple championships during that span. In Oklahoma City, winning it last year has a chance to do that if they can go back-to-back. The Grizzlies, though, will not play until tomorrow night against Utah after losing last night 136-119 to the Nuggets in a game in which the Grizzlies were a 23.5-point underdog, the second-largest spread in NBA history, and actually led by four at the half, 72-68. But they ended up losing by 17, so the Grizzlies at 25-55. They will play the Rockets on Sunday, but tomorrow night's the big game. All eyes will be on Salt Lake City. We could have the biggest television audience in the history of the NBA as the Grizzlies will play the Jazz for inferior supremacy. The loser wins in this one.
And my guess is, I'm gonna say that Cedric Coward will not play tomorrow night. I'm going to say today's injury report has him listed probably as, he's listed as doubtful with something. Some toe injury.
I was waiting on a description of exactly what you were going to come
some toe
with.
Injury or something. When he's been missing games, what has it been with? What have they been listing him with? I don't remember what he's missed these last few games. I don't remember what soreness or whatever he's had, but I'm going to guess that came back after last night's game. And so tomorrow night he's got a
recurring soreness.
It's going to be, yeah, that thing's back again.
I think you're right. I would bet that Coward will be out tomorrow night. I mean, it's going to be comical what happens between the two, especially with Utah.
It'll be fun really just to see how many are not dressed.
I know. John Conchar, too good. We got to come up with an injury for you. We don't want you playing against your former team and like going for 20-10.
It's a star-studded affair in Salt Lake City.
The Bucks game was low back soreness, so I'm gonna say we're going back.
Yeah, especially with back because that's the one that they can't just openly detect it right away.
I'm gonna say that Sed woke up today with a sore back again, and so he's questionable and doubtful for tomorrow night.
He got sore when he got 27 and 21 minutes, you know. So high effort, you know, putting that type of efficiency in.
I think he may be right about that. The UFL has announced an agreement to place a new team in Oklahoma City in time for the 2028 season. They will be one of two expansion markets that will begin play in the next 2 years. So there you go. For those who thought maybe it's the demise of the UFL just because the showboats left, not the case. They're adding two teams, one in Oklahoma City. And that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Kerry Miller for joining us on the program. Tomorrow is going to be a fun show. John Varlas will join us at 7:25. We will have Hannah Hayden, the new Memphis women's basketball coach, at 8:05. Joe DeLeon will join us at 8:25. We will have a surprise guest for you at 9:30. Plus, we got 10 in a row the game show that has swept the nation. It's all coming up tomorrow, starting bright and early at 7 a.m. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.